You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Top Order podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be talking an IPL auction recap. Stark and Cummins go for some crazy crawl. CSK masquerading as New Zealand, but will Ratchin even get a game? The Gujarat Titans pick up an Aussie left armer for 10 crore. Could that be the bargain pick of the IPL draft? It wasn't Mitch that we're talking about. Plus our wildly inaccurate predictions, all coming up on the Top Order podcast. IPL 2024 auction recap. Stay tuned.
41, 42, 43. Perfect. Well done.
Well, boys, we've got a lot of cricket coming up. Bawdy referring there to the fact that they asked me to do a 43-second intro with no prep. I'd already prepped the intro. I didn't know how many seconds it's going to be, so I've tried to stretch out a little bit. If you jangle your keys, that's probably good for the listener, Bawdy.
Really good for the audio quality.
Yeah.
They fell out of my pocket. I apologise.
No problem. Apology accepted.
Professional start here.
Boys, it's Cricketmas. We've got a lot of episodes coming up over the course of the next two or three weeks. This is going to be our IPL auction recap. We're then going to come up in your feed as well. We're going to talk about our 2023 highlights and our 2024 preview as well, all on the Top Order podcast feed over the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks. So if our hair length and jumper choices don't change over the next three episodes, you'll know from a continuity perspective, we've recorded all of this around about the 20th of December here in New Zealand. But it was the IPL auction, mini auction, I think we should say. So a lot of the squads already obviously full of talent, but some significant purchases, which hopefully have helped, you know, the CPI figures for the quarter.
I was just saying to Bully, it's surely helped the Australian economy.
It's probably helped the Indian economy. Well, I guess it depends on which tax haven Mitchell Stark keeps his money.
Look, Australia GDP went up 0.5%, and we're up on the ASX today on the back of this IPL option.
That might be a good place to start. So let's look at the IPL auction recap, mini auction, Calcutta Knight Riders. Probably certainly the headline of the auction from a monetary perspective. Mm. Mitchell Stark going for 24.75 crore. And the thing that really astounded me when you kind of looked at that was literally no one else in their auction picks last night went for more than 2 crore.
Yeah.
You know, that they really
Have 31 or something, 31 crore.
He is the PlayStation 5 and all the rest are just stocking fillers, aren't they? You know, little things picked up from Kmart almost. But what do we think about them going for that amount of cash?
You say that he's, you know, he's the PlayStation 5, but didn't they need him though? Like I feel like the bowling stocks in that side in general are probably a bit lower than they are across the board. But you know, I have no problem spending that kind of money on him. He hasn't been in the IPL since 2015, I think I wrote in
maybe
my notes.
18, yeah, 18 he was picked, wasn't he?
And then injured. Mm. So, yeah, why not? Why not pick a fast bowler who has a lot of impact with the white ball?
And Gus Atkinson, bargain buy, only cost them a crore. Great backup for Cummins, bowls good wheels. I think that's
For Stark.
Sorry, for Stark. Yep, great backup.
Yeah, look, I've written down here on my notes, I don't know whether you're looking at them, I've got an Atkinson pick and then some illegible shit, just in case you were sitting on my notes.
I was just looking at this one here where it said Atkinson 1.
I absolutely think he could be an absolute gun. Unlikely that he's probably going to get in the side to start with Gus Atkinson, but yeah, certainly is impressed. So a couple of good pickups for KKR.
It was a big, like, it was a massive day for a lot of seamers out there, but I do, and, you know, I think we'll get to Sunrisers, obviously, about about what they did and how they ended up spending their money. Cummins obviously had the record for the highest purchase in the auction for, I think it was like under an hour,
yeah.
You know, just the way that it kind of panned out with Stark taking over. But I would disagree with you, Raj, a little bit about spending all of that money on Stark, because when I look at that KKR side, I think that they needed to strengthen in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that they've gone out and spent on Stark meant that particularly, you know, it's not all like getting onto the Sun, comparing it to the Sunrisers. Sunrisers now have eight players, overseas players that could all, you know, make a case to be in their starting four. The KKR probably have an easier decision there maybe on their overseas players, but I think in that sense they probably could have made better money trying to buy some Indian players and strengthen their core, you know. So I don't really know what they were doing, and I think they might have got, I think a few teams have kind of got a bit excited with, we have to have these players, which is always sort of what you see in the IPL. Players get huge money because of they sell shirts and an owner wants them, or, you know, all sorts of different reasons why they're picked up. But yeah, I thought the Stark one in particular was kind of wild.
But so that's a question broadly for the panel. So I watched a little bit of the auction last night and was flicking between that and the Big Bash, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A question. There seemed to be quite a lot of talk, and there was quite a lot of senior heads in the room. Mahela Jayawardene was in the room. Ricky Ponting was in the room. I think Mo Bobat was in the room. So some of the guys that are driving some of the strategy, Dan Vettori, I think, was there as well. And it seemed to be quite considered, and a lot of the teams took a little bit of time to discuss what they were going to do in terms of their auction picks. But do we think the heart ruled the head in a few of those picks yesterday? Do you think there is still some vanity in the way that these teams are picked, or do you think it is all done by the analysts?
Yes. Is the answer to that?
Yes, there's vanity.
Yes, yeah. I think that there's a lot more to picking a player for your IPL squad. You're thinking about selling shirts. You're thinking about selling tickets. Who's going to be in your ad campaign? But look, I think that picking someone like Mitchell Stark, who can bowl four devastating overs, especially at the top of the innings, and hit a ball if he needs to, is actually not a bad option to go along with some of the likes of Andre Russell that they've got there. You've got two guys who could win a game.
Yeah.
Themselves.
Look, absolutely. Let's not talk about Andre Russell's death bowling though of recent times. But yeah, that could be old news by the time IPL 2024 rolls around. Baldy, anything from you? You were looking like you wanted to interject. Yeah.
Oh, I just think in the absence of genuine, like, top quality superstar Indian players, if you go all in on an international, I think you want to spend your international money on four absolute gun superstars who can win you games of cricket. And I don't mind that KKR have gone with Stark, Russell, etc., Jason Roy, all guys. Have they got Jason Roy already? Yeah, Kubas, already in their squad.
Naren, we're already there. So
three or four guys there that can, like, absolutely win you three or four games in the tournament off their own bat, which is kind of, as we spoke to Colin Munro, what their role is in the tournament. So I don't mind that they went all in on Stark, but like you say, they're probably a little bit light in terms of other than maybe Shreyas Iyer and Venkatesh Iyer, and Rinku Singh. So they've got some, you know, really good players. But yeah, a lot's going to depend, I think, on their internationals to win them games of cricket.
I'm just going to time box this because we're 10 teams, we're 6 minutes in, and this was meant to be a 30-minute podcast. So that even my math is telling me we're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, as long as you promise not to sing the song, let's talk about the Sunrisers. So that they were the other team that, I think we wanted to talk about from an Australian scene perspective, picking up Pat Cummins for 20.5. Craw, Travis Head gets a payday, which I think is probably well deserved. But Wanindu Hasaranga, probably the pick of the bunch.
Amazing,
for them,
isn't it?
1.5 Craw.
Yeah, no other bids for Hasaranga. It was so weird watching that auction. You know, it's always really weird just watching the auction, kind of in the sense that, you know, that they're bidding on players and, like, just the life-changing, you know. I remember kind of one of the first episodes we did was talking to Shane Bond and, you know, like, how he talked about watching the auction and kind of understanding, you know, just the life-changing nature of it. And I mean, you talked about Stark. I saw Alyssa Healy did quality social media from her, just picking up a pint glass, eyes lighting up, and taking a sip from her, and just the life-changing nature. And Daryl Mitchell's mentioned that, but yeah, I mean, SHR, you mentioned it before, they're gonna have such a tough time picking picking their four overseas to play, because they picked up you know, three quality guys that you've just named, and they had four, five good overseas players already.
Here's the list, right, of overseas players for Sunrisers. Travis Head, Aiden Markram, Glenn Phillips, Heinrich Klassen, Marco Janssen, I'm sure I'm going to miss one here, Pat Cummins, Fazal Haq Faruqi, I think, is an international player.
Yeah.
Hasaranga as well. So they've got eight, maybe even nine. I might have missed one in there as well, that are all capable of playing. So their challenge, and they've traditionally relied a lot on their international players to win them games. I think they've, you know, spread their money too thin, perhaps.
And the reason I actually love the Pat Cummins pickup is that they actually had a lot of bases covered before they picked him up.
Mm.
And he is literally, I think, in one of the articles I saw, the cherry on top. He's going to go in there and he can have an absolute influence on the game, but he doesn't need to. He's got the superstars all around him.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, Daniel Vettori, it's interesting, eh? Daniel Vettori's been in and around that Australian team, and then two Australians, big paydays. It was weird seeing him there. I know we sort of have seen him recently without the beard, but, you know, seeing him without the beard is just such a strange experience for me. But it was interesting because lots of people talked about how Pat Cummins and Stark both got massively overpaid, but he put it quite well in terms of, like, if you group our two or three players together that we have bought here, Travis Head, Hasaranga and Cummins, and said we had this pool of money that we were going to spend on three players, and you actually add them up, the fact that Hasaranga went so cheaply meant we want Cummins, we're just going to pay what it takes to get him. And it actually, you know, I guess if you look at it that way, it's sort of fair enough.
Yeah, and look, pop in the comments, how does the auction work in terms of the order that they picked out? Because it went, spinners, early doors, didn't it? And then I think even keepers before the seamers came, is that right?
It goes, they're grouped into pots, international players, capped players and uncapped players, and then, grouped by category, batting, batters, bowlers, all-rounders.
Let's move on to the Chennai Black Caps. Sorry, Chennai Super Kings. So I think probably from a New Zealand perspective, obviously the news from last night was Raj's mate Ratchin getting a gig. Daryl Mitchell as well, picking up some serious craw as well. They've got most bases covered through, you know, their side. Again, they're probably going to have some questions, and it's going to be difficult to fit in three New Zealand top order players, isn't it? With Conway already there, Daryl Mitchell, and then Ratchin Ravindra as well. But yeah, thoughts on the CSK? You guys will be going out to buy your yellow jerseys, won't you?
Mate, I was looking for one yesterday. I found this beautiful hoodie for about $75, so quite pricey. But yeah, this red or this yellow, you know, really nice yellow hoodie with this lion on it. Like, I mean, I was very, very tempted.
It's actually an interesting one because we've mentioned opportunities are going to be very hard to come by for anyone in this team. And I tell you what, if they start poorly, MS Dhoni and Ajinkya Rahane are going to have a lot of pressure on them to perform. So it's going to be an interesting one.
For Ratchin, I guess there's two things. There was a huge amount of buzz that he was going to get, probably the money almost that Daryl Mitchell got. So in some ways, you're sort of feeling like, oh, okay, he went for less than, you know, people thought he might. But I love that he's gone to CSK. Even though there's a chance that he might not play many games, for someone like him and his stage of his career to spend 2 months with MS Dhoni and Stephen Fleming, you know, side by side and sitting and chatting cricket. I mean, you know, the limited time that we spent talking to Ratchin, he's going to soak up every single moment of that, and it's going to be great for his career.
You know what excites me is that he's in the same team as Jadeja. How much is that going to learn from bowling with those two guys in the nets? I think it's just the best place he could possibly land. Fantastic for him, even though he's going to probably be behind Conway and maybe Mitchell in terms of the pecking order CSK.
And but, you say there, Jadeja, there's Mo Ali, who's, you know, very, in terms of kind of what they bring to the side, you know, bowl a few overs, bat in the top order or anywhere, I guess, for Moeen Ali, and Ratchin can probably do that kind of job in a T20. So, it's going to be tough for him on the field, but fantastic that he's going to be in that squad and joining a squad with such mana, I guess, and a side that just won the comp.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking of sides that have won the comp, we'll come on to...
Can we talk about Daryl Mitchell? Because
we are a New Zealand-based cricket podcast after all.
Yeah. I'm just so delighted for him.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see that kind of develop, and, you know, you... The it was even with Rutchen's one. Sometimes, you know, you don't know how this auction's going to go, and you see the bidding, and then like they take a little while to kind of get involved, and then one other team jumps in, and another team jumps in, and there was a little bidding war with Mitchell, and then you know when it's serious when someone else has just been sitting there waiting, and when when one of the teams looks like they're about to drop out, and a third team jumps in, and that's kind of what happened with Mitchell, yeah. And it was just like, okay, we're skyrocketing now. And for a guy that has, you know, it took him a long time to get to international cricket, but over the last 18 months, 2 years, he's gone from being a fringe player for New Zealand who can kind of fit a lot of different roles in different formats to absolutely establishing himself as, you know, one of the first names on the team sheet in all three formats for New Zealand. His average across, you know, I think I saw today he's played the most games of international cricket over the past 18 months. I think
of any nation,
only Sky, or it was game. I think maybe it was games or international games. I can't quite remember, but only Sky, I think, had one fewer than him. So that's kind of remarkable when you think about the amount of games that New Zealand play compared to some of the other nations. But he has worked super hard to earn this money and just delivered on all levels. So yeah, I'm really, really stoked for him.
And he bats at four, which is huge for that team. They had a bit of a hole at four at CSK last year. It's the only real weakness.
And he's great against spin. I think he'll do an awesome job.
Look, absolutely agree. Stoked for him. I love watching him play. Him and to be honest, Mitch Marsh at the moment in that, you know, almost a similar role, in fact. Really like watching their big grey nickels come down and hit straight and over the sight screen. It's the best place to hit. Let's talk about Mumbai Indians, whether any of us brave enough to repeat the predictions we made off air about how poorly they might do.
Well, there was only one of us
in this tournament. But look, I guess the pickups last night, really, Gerald Kutsia, five core. He impressed in that World Cup, didn't he? So yeah, put himself well and truly in the shop window. And I think Madashankar as well was the other one from the World Cup that we talked a hell of a lot about during the course of the World Cup. So from a seeming perspective, be interesting to see whether and teams have gone in with several left arm options, haven't they, over the course of the last few IPL. So whether or not there's room for Jason Berendorf and Madashankar,
I say no.
I guess time will tell. But yeah, thoughts on Mumbai? They look light batting wise for me with Tim David at six. Let me rephrase that before we get loads of comments. Their batting is heavily reliant, I think, on the top five, which is absolutely packed full of class with Sharma, Kishan, Sky, Panja, Verma. But then it gets a little bit shaky, I think, from six down. Tim David's a bit of a, you know, shit or bust.
On the top, isn't he?
Yeah. And then I think then when you start to look at that tail of Wadhira, Kutsia, Chawla, Bumrah, Berendorf, you know, that's where I think they don't have that lower order depth. They're going to rely on that top five.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that they're asking a lot of a small core of players,
yeah,
as you mentioned there, to do it every night. And I think that's a hard thing to do every night after night. I think Madashankar, I'm really excited to see him in the IPL. He's had a great World Cup. People now have footage of him, know what he does. He's going to have to do something different.
That'll be the real test.
It'll be interesting to see what he does there. But look, they're a good... Mumbai are a good club, a good franchise. They'll always perform, but they're asking a lot of a few players, I feel.
Can I make just one comment? I think they're a world-class spinner short of being a contender. They've got Nabi, they've got Romario Shepherd, but if you have a look at some of the other spinners in some of those top-flight sides... They are better than the spin attack that Mumbai is going to be able to put on the park, I think.
I disagree with you. Well, I disagree with you guys in the sense that I think they had weaknesses in terms of their seam attack, and I think they absolutely addressed them last night in terms of their, you know, getting Kutsia, getting Madashankar, getting Thusara, isn't it, from Sri Lanka as well. Another Malinga kind of clone. There's now a couple of them in the IPL. So yeah, I think they actually did a really nice job. Chawla, you know, look, he's been around a while, but he did a really nice job for them last year. They you know, I actually think the biggest challenge for them is going to be whether all the stuff about Hardik and kind of the fallout of, you know, him taking over the captaincy. There's been a lot of sort of cryptic-ish messages on social media from the likes of Sky and Bumrah and stuff, like heartbreaks when Rohit Sharma is removed of the captaincy and Hardik is now in. You know, I, in my head, when that happened, I sort of thought, okay, Sharma, like Sharma must be on board. The guys must be on board with this. Yep. You know, Hardik Pandya is a Mumbai guy. He's probably coming back here and everyone's stoked to kind of get the gang back together. But if that's not the case, then I don't know. Like that seems concerning.
I don't think we're going to know the answer to that, are we?
No, we're not. But look, there's rumours flying around that, you know, Rohit's going to leave and all this stuff. Mumbai's disputing them. I think that off-field stuff actually has, in my head, a bigger chance to disrupt this side than actually their 11 looks pretty strong.
But that's the thing, their 11 looks strong. What if Rohit, Hardik and Jasprit get injured in the next...
What if any of the top three players?
No, but other squads have like-for-like replacements.
They've got the depth charts.
I think that's fair, there isn't the depth there. But look.
That's fair, yeah.
Only time will tell. When there's more memes of your owner than there are of your players, you've got problems. Anyway, let's move on. Rajasthan Royals. So didn't spend super big. Picked up Rovman Powell, 7.4 crore. Shubman Dubey as well for just under six crore. Bit of recency bias with Robin Powell going well in that series in the Caribbean at the moment, also leading the Royals in the CPL. I was excited as well for Tom Kohler Cadmore. He was a guy that burst onto the scene in England probably, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. Was at Worcestershire alongside a little bit of controversy. He wasn't, you know, implicated in that, but was in and around that group of players, and that might have blotted his copybook a little bit, I think, through the early part of his career. But I actually think he's a chance if he performs in the Nets. Shimron Hetmyer just been dropped again by the West Indies, and has had some sort of fitness issues and has been in and out of his side. So I'm excited for, you know, the English contingent there with Joss Butler obviously still in the side and Kohler Cadmore.
What I love about this side is actually their Indian bowling core.
Yep. Got yes, yeah, absolutely. Jahal, 100% with
Krishna,
you,
Avish Khan, Ravi Ashwin and Navdeep Saini as well.
To get Avish Khan, yeah, I mean, you talked about before, they didn't spend much money. I think the best business they did was actually get that trade to get Avish Khan, because they had Padikal last year, didn't they? But he sort of just didn't really need him, because they had all of that other firepower up front, and you know, it just wasn't really required. But adding Avish Khan to that bowling attack, it looks very strong now, doesn't it?
Premiership window open, I feel.
100%.
It's been open for a while, hasn't it? And they haven't quite been able to capitalise. They've obviously got to the final.
3, 4, 5 need to do a big job for the Royals, right? They've got superstars everywhere else, but I think 3, 4, 5 is where they need to, those guys need to step up and really
perform. But they do have a good track record as well. Like, we need them to step up, need them to step up, but they've done the job before.
Yeah, and I guess useful backup in the spin department as well. Yuzvendra Chahal, I think has been good. So I think they
and Zampa,
and yeah, absolutely, I think they've got some good options. Let's move on to the Delhi Capitals. Can we talk for a moment about, I think that, you know, their wicket keeping stocks, they let Phil Salt go. I still can't believe, he's answered it in pretty fine style this morning, but 100 the day before the auction, doesn't get picked up in the auction, and then another T20 100. But they must be pretty confident that Rishabh Pant might come to fitness, although they've got some options with the gloves as well. But a couple of pickups, Kumar Kshagra, Jai Richardson and Harry Brook as well, who, according to, I guess, the probable 11s, people are penciling him in already. Be interesting to see whether that happens. I'm certainly excited to see that. But yeah, thoughts on the Delhi Caps?
It was cool to see Rishabh Pant back, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's smiling and sitting at there. You know, you sort of forget what a figure he was in the Indian side, and, you know, just becoming a superstar. And, you know, the fact that he was sitting there now, like, devastating injury for him. Obviously, it's taken him so long. It'll be fascinating to see how he comes back. And they are talking about that he's going to be fit for the IPL. So, yeah, hopefully that happens. Hopefully he can get some cricket under his belt, because, you know, they're a side that I look at on paper and think they might struggle a bit. So actually, I think getting him back and the Rishabh Pant that, you know, from 2 years ago before this injury, I think would be pretty crucial to their chances.
And where do you see them struggling with the batting or the bowling?
I think they're short an Indian bowler of some kind, a local bowler, pace bowler, spinner, whatever that is. I think they're just slightly short. They've got those good overseas players on the batting offensive side of the ball. I don't know if they they've got the players. They've got Ngidi, they've got Nokia and Jai Richardson. But the balance wise, I don't know where that fits. I think they're short an Indian bowler.
If they've got three overseas players in their top five, it makes that hard to balance that attack. I really like the pickup of Shai Hope. I think he's a really good cricketer and only 75 lakh. Like, that's bargain basement prices for a guy
who... It's not ODI cricket, though. That's the problem.
We'll just tell him.
Only ODI cricket is...
Just tell him it's an ODI.
Just look at his averages.
Just tell him it's an ODI.
It's just all ODIs.
It's
a rain-reduced ODI.
He opens the batting, tell him to bat 20 overs. It's fine. No problem. Great backup for punt.
Yeah, but I guess that, you know, they've picked up a couple of other guys that can keep wicket as well. He's not even listed as a keeper, according to the... Which I find... His gloves will be in his bag, I'm sure. Punjab Kings, Harshal Patel, just under 12 crore. Riley Russo, South African, getting picked up, and a return for Chris Wokes. I think that's his fourth, certainly his third IPL gig. But yeah, anything you want to talk about from there, from a wins or?
Well, I've been quite harsh in my commentary, my notes here. I said, you know, Punjab Kings were a good team. They're a good team 4 years ago. At the moment, they've got players there who are great names who have formed in the past. I'm looking at the likes of, you know, Bairstow, Karan, Rabada, Darwin, Rahul Chahar. These are great players 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
How are they going to go next year? I don't know.
Where's the 22, 23-year-old that's going to take them to the next level? I none of them jump off the page.
Even Harshal Patel, it strikes me as weird that he keeps getting these massive, paychecks and then released. The franchises are like, oh, you didn't live up to your paycheck, we might release you, and then you'll just gets another paycheck. Look, I mean, he's a handy cricketer. I'm not, you know, he's a useful player, but yeah, Punjab's always kind of been, I don't know if it's those uniforms, maybe. I just find them a boring team. They're just pale. I don't know. I'm not a uniforms guy, but I don't like theirs, and
you
haven't
spent
really
5
ever...
minutes talking about the Sunrisers hoodie that you found earlier on.
It was so good. It was so good.
You know where it all went wrong for them is they bid on the wrong Shashank Singh.
Is that right?
That was fantastic, wasn't it?
They bid on a player called Shashank Singh, won the auction or won his services, and then realised they bid on the wrong Shashank Singh.
Pitches,
and then tried to unbid for him. Whoops.
But they got him for 20 lakhs.
It's
so
not,
yeah.
Is that a real thing?
That's good.
I saw that on the Murdoch press this morning. It was quite hilarious.
The very wee hours of our morning.
Yeah. I did actually write that down. I said, reliant upon four aging England players. and that's slightly harsh on Sam Curran, who's still got time to be the next Jack Callis, I'm sure.
Or Liam Livingston.
Absolutely. And he went well today as well for England, Liam Livingston. Right. Let's talk about the Gujarat Titans. They got the best Australian left-arm seamer of the bunch, didn't they? But look, jokes aside, picking up a guy who's had some big bash form, Spencer Johnson for 10 crore. Also, Umesh Yadav, I guess sort of bolstering, I guess, the seeming stocks there as well. But yeah, thoughts on them, obviously expansion team coming in a couple of years ago, doing pretty well. Again, I look at the batting, I'm not 100%. Sure, on their
Kane's
batting.
Kane's in that team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Azmatullah Elmazai is someone I love that they... I think that's a steal to get him for 50 lakh. That was, I mean, amazing to get him for that after the World Cup that he had.
Yep.
I the thing is about Gujarat is I thought this 2 years ago when I looked at their lineup, and then they won, and then they made the final. Like that, they've just. I mean, I know they had Hardik then, and obviously they've lost him for
this
you
is
know,
a different
money.
Side without him,
and I do think that will make a big difference. But
I really like their squad overall. I think they've got the options to traverse horses for courses, whatever the pitch is going to show or whatever the opposition is going to play. I think they've got a number of options. Umesh Yadav's a massive one for me. He's not even in their probable 12 that Cricinfo put up, but he's a
that's
massive,
a weird probable massive, 12, eh?
Massive inclusion in, you know, local bowler
that,
as well.
If you have a look at that probable 12 that Cricinfo put up, it's like the 2-3-4 on that side doesn't look particularly...
Kane Williamson.
Well, exactly, but anyhow... Yeah.
And I'm assuming they got Johnson after they failed in their bid for Stark, because they'd already got Josh Little in the side as a left arm option as well. So
Spencer Johnson, what's his report?
Big rise for Spencer Johnson. He hadn't played Big Bash this time last year. He hadn't made his Big Bash debut December 2022. So big rise for Spencer Johnson. I mean, you know, it's a fairy tale, rags to riches story for him. But, you know, let's see how he performs in the white hot competitive environment of the IPL.
Well, let's see how he goes when they're not home speed guns. I think he's probably the key. Yeah, the old Aussie spit, turning the speed gun up trick.
I'm not going to buy it, Adam.
You're not, fair enough.
It must be just about time for Raj's RCB side, isn't it?
We've got one more to go. So it is the Giants who are super.
Not just regular Giants.
So Shivamavi, 6.5 crore thereabouts. Sid Arthur, a couple of crore, and David Willey. So nice to see him get picked up after retiring from international cricket. He's going to be able to, fill the coffers with some franchise cash. But that pre-auction trade for Padukal, I think, key for their squads. But again, where do they look weak? Is it the Indian batting? Is it, what do they need to do?
Well, the note I wrote down for them is I feel like they're missing 2020 X factor. I think they've got, you know, Pettigrew, they've got Wood, they've got who's the other one? Quinton de Kock.
Rahul.
You know, if you're expecting these guys to go out, Quinton de Kock's only just got 800 runs. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I just feel like they're missing some X factor around that.
Other than QDK.
The thing is that Quinton de Kock and Kyle Rahul could score 800 runs each. Like, it's as simple as that. And that's kind of been their format for how they sort of built their franchise the last couple of years and performed, so I think that's realistic. But yeah, I agree that they feel, you know, more top heavy than some of the other sides.
And I've not got the stats, but I've got a feeling Carl Mayers went well last year for them. Or was that the season before?
They're all blending into one, but I think you're right. I think he did okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're certainly not an X-factor player, but yes, certainly someone who hits the ball and times the ball pretty sweetly. Do we want to move on to the RCB? So,
of course.
This is when I think I turned the auction on, and Azhari Joseph was up for auction. That one, a little bit of a battle there. He ended up getting nearly 12 crore. Some New Zealand interest in this one as well. Lockie Ferguson getting picked up alongside Yashdal, Tom Curran, and then a couple of Indian pickups as well. But yeah, what are our thoughts here? They've lost, obviously, Hasaranga, who we talked about earlier on. They've got pretty decent sort of batting if Faf and Virat do what they did last year. Glenn Maxwell coming off a stellar World Cup. I still think Cameron Green looks too high at five for me. Maybe not too high at five, but that's not his natural position. I don't think he's T20, is it?
No, and he did a pretty good job for Mumbai last year, batting at kind of six-ish. Yeah. I think he batted a couple of games at three. But yeah, I think you're right. I think he's more of a 25 off 9 kind of finisher rather than a guy who bats for maybe more balls. So it'll be interesting to see how they balance. They've got Kartik in there as well.
You're big on Green, though, aren't you?
My thing with Green is I don't think that we should limit his possibilities. I think that throw him in where they think that he fits and let him see what let's see what he does. I think he has a lot of potential to do whatever, score 80 runs with the bat and take 3-4 with the ball.
He's going to get a lot of freedom, right? Because he's got so many match winners around him that it's not up to him to score all the runs and take all the wickets. Yeah. Any contribution he makes almost to the team outcome is a positive one and a bonus.
My sort of drawback with RCB, or you know, my worry for them is I feel like Glenn Maxwell and Cameron Green are actually going to have an impact with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that looks like, but look, at the end of the day, they can chase whatever they need to. It's just we don't want RCP don't want them to have to chase
220
every game.
Yeah. That was exactly my notes as well. I just feel like when you look at their side, they've got one of the easier decisions, and I actually applaud the strategy of, let's get four overseas players that we think, you know, let's get the absolute gun four overseas players that we think, and then kind of get cheaper backups for those players if we can. Let's not do the Sun. Like, I feel like that's better business than your Sunrisers, who have eight, you know, gun overseas players that they can't all, you know, they're paying high value to and they can't get them all on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But I do sort of, it was a bizarre kind of auction for them, I thought. I thought they could have strengthened in the Indian bowlers particularly. You know, when you look at that lineup, just like you said, they're going to need overs from Green, they're going to need overs from Maxwell. And I think that, I just Ozari Joseph is going to have a massive role there in terms of what he's going to bring, and his four overs are going to be, you know, really, really crucial to how they go.
Lockie going to get a look in, you think? Or
I don't think so. I mean, I would, you know, you go with Cam Green, you go with Pfaff, you go with Maxwell, and you go with Ozari Joseph, don't you? It's as simple as that. I actually think Lockie's been struggling the last couple of years in the IPL and for New Zealand.
That's where I think I'll slightly disagree with you. I get the premise that, you know, there's teams that have got eight absolute household names as their overseas players, but when I look down the list of guys that they've got, they've got Will Jacks, who has burst onto the international scene. He looks assured at the top of the order for England in white ball cricket. You've got the likes of Tom Curran, who has played a lot of franchise cricket around the world. So I think on game day, if Ozari Joseph, you know, treads on a cricket ball or pulls up a bit sore, you've got someone who's got some experience. And the same with Lockie, and the same with even a Rhys Topley as well, who, you know, he's opened the bowling in the World Cup. So I actually think they've got the right sort of combination in terms of, you know, they've spent their allowance really, really well.
I agree with you in the overseas. If I didn't make that clear, that was the point I was making, that they didn't go out and splash the cash on those guys. And they've spent their money on their four guns overseas players that they think are going to play every game.
Yep.
And then the backups are cheaper versions of some of the players that they could replace them with. Like a Will Jacks could fill, he's not quite Glenn Maxwell, but he can do some of the same things that he can do. And same with the seamers and stuff. So yeah, I agree with you there.
Absolutely. We're at the end, I think. We've got to the end and we're almost on time, kind of,
yeah.
Do we want to make predictions this early for the tournament, or do we save that for the previous show? Has anyone got an early view on who's going to lift the trophy?
Who won the auction? Who did the best job in this auction, do you think?
See,
it's a hard one. Who's the strongest team after the auction? I think if I had to pick one, I think the Sunrisers have a very, very strong side.
See,
but that wasn't auction related.
I think, you know, you guys are not happy with Mumbai. I think they had a really great auction. And I also think CSK did a really nice job, but, you know, very, very biased, obviously, there with the New Zealand side of things. But I do think that they now have so much, they have so many options that they can, you know, pick and choose by where they're playing. They can pick and choose by opposition and sort of fill a lot of different gaps with their English, with their overseas players and with their Indian players. So yeah, I really like what CSK and Mumbai did personally.
Yeah, I'm going to go different. I think Delhi Caps and I think Mumbai actually had pretty good auctions. I think they've picked up a seamer in Katsia, who had a really, really good World Cup for not a lot of cash. Madashankar, who had a really, really good World Cup for not a lot of cash, and Mohammed Nabi as well, I think, just, you know, adds a bit of bench strength for them. Delhi as well, I think, had a pretty decent auction as well. Jai Richardson, Harry Brook, Shai Hope, I think, Tristan Stubbs. They've got some, you know, some options there of guys that I think can come in and do a job. So they're my two picks.
Sunrisers, Cummins, Head, Hasaranga, 27 crore. Thanks very much. That's good buying. That's great buying.
Love it. I did think we might talk about like the second IPL window, but we might be able to leave that into like what's to come for 2024 and look about it in that episode.
Yeah, look, who knows what's coming up on the Top Order podcast. But at some point we'll sit down and do some planning, won't we, for what 2024 holds. Any closing business, or can we bring the hammer down on the auction episode?
Bring the hammer down.
Sold. That is it from the Top Order podcast this evening. We will be back in your feed, as we said, with our wrap-up of 2023 and a preview of 2024, all wearing the same Top Order merchandise and very dashing blue cashmere sweater as well over here. But for now, it is good night and good bless from us all here in Auckland. We'll see you soon on the Top Order podcast. Good night.
Sports Social Podcast Network. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.